I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we start off in Surat.
Right.
And we end up in St George.
Yes. Nice area of Queensland.
Oh, look, St George was so much fun because we actually went to the Yellowbelly Country Music
That's
Festival
correct.
There. And that was a fabulous time. But before we get to St George, we speak to a couple of people in Surat.
Right. But first off, we're going to start off with a song.
Well, that's before the interview.
Yes.
Okay. So let's tell us who the interview people are.
Right. Okay.
So the first person we're interviewing, or I was interviewing, is a lady called Holly.
Yes, from the Timber Crate.
Now, Holly, she's 24 years of age.
Right.
Okay. She manages the Timber Crate,
mm-hmm.
works in the hotel, motel, which her mum and dad own.
Mm-hmm.
They also own the caravan park.
Wow. She's a busy girl.
She's an extremely busy lady. And when I said to her, can I do an interview? She said, oh, look, yeah, okay, I'll just get one of the girls to look after the shop.
Mm.
And she said, it'll only be 5 minutes.
Mm.
And the girl that she was talking to turned white and almost passed out, thinking, Holly, you're going to be more than 5 minutes, so how am I going to cope?
Mm. Oh, okay. Wow.
So she is really, really busy. And Surat, what a wonderful place.
It is, yes. We stayed at a great campground.
We did.
Yes, donation camp. And it was a 10-minute stroll into, well, it was 15 with Timmy.
Yeah.
Because we had to stop at every blade of grass.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's a nice stroll into town and there's also free showers in there.
Free showers.
Beautiful hot showers. Yep. Yeah, yep. Lovely.
We stayed at the Fisherman's Park.
Yes, we did.
And that's a donation park.
Yes.
The showers are provided for free, but when I was talking to Holly, she said, look, if people use the showers, it'd be nice if they could donate just a little bit more at the Fisherman's Park.
Ah,
although
okay.
they don't expect it, but it'd be nice because, I mean, water costs.
Yes,
so
it does.
Think about that, listeners. Now, straight after her, I chat with
Wendy Newman.
And
she's the secretary of the Surat District Association.
Now, boy, isn't she a wealth of information.
Yes.
My goodness me. And we were in the museum there,
right.
which has got this huge aquarium. And there's a nice little thing which you're going to I'm going to make the listeners wait.
Okay.
They're going to wait to find out what they can do.
Right.
So they can add a fish to the fish tank.
Right.
Okay.
Geez, it must be a full fish tank.
Oh, well, they disappear after 24 hours.
Oh, okay. They get recycled.
You're going to have to wait to find out what that's all about, for
right.
listeners. Then straight after that, we're in St. George.
Yes, and you're chatting to Kim Wildman, and she's the Shire Council Tourism Manager.
That's right, in the Bollinshire.
Bollinshire, yes.
Bollinshire Tourism Manager in the St George region.
Right.
And she is talking to us all about these events that are happening in her area.
Mm-hmm, that are coming up.
Right up until Christmas.
Right.
So she's just done a very, very brief overview.
Mm-hmm.
And what she has done is she has passed the contact names and numbers onto us.
Right.
So I can get in touch with the various people running the events.
Mm-hmm.
That Kim's talking about.
Right.
And we're going to have those people on in the next
upcoming
weeks.
Oh, so now people can plan their trip.
Plan their trip. And the people we're talking to about the events can give us a more in-depth
right.
view as to what the
mm-hmm.
listeners can expect.
Very good.
When they go to these fabulous events. Now, as you said before we bring our first guest on, which is Holly from the Timber Crate, I'm going to play a song.
G'day, g'day.
And how you going?
What do you know?
Let's strike a light. Yes, well, you see, Holly's asked for a Slim Dusty track, so which we'll play for her after the interview. But before we have the interview, we're going to play this song for her because I'm sure Holly's going to love it.
Very good.
Now, apart from these fabulous discussions, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show. G'day, g'day, how you going? What do you know? They'll strike a light. G'day, g'day, and how you going? Just say good day, good day, good day, and you'll be right. Isn't it great to be an Aussie, taking a walk along the street, looking in shops or buying a paper, stopping and having a yarn with people that you meet down at the pub or at a party, whenever you're stuck for what to say. If you want to be dinky-dye, why don't you give it a try? Look 'em right in the eye and say good day. Good day, good day. How you going? What do you know? Well, strike a light. Good day, good day. And how you going? Just say good day, good day, good day, and you'll be right. Now, when Italians meet, they all go crazy. The blokes all like to hug each other too. The Yanks invented hi and see you later, while the Pommy will shake your hand and say how do you do. Now watch out for a Frenchman or he'll kiss you. The Spaniards go for ola and ole, but in the land of the cockatoo, cock hats and the didgeridoo. When you meet an Aussie, 10 to 1, here's what he'll say. G'day, g'day. How you going? What do you know? Well, strike a light. G'day, g'day. And how you going? Just say g'day, 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 and you'll be right. It's a greeting that you'll hear across Australia, from Geraldton to Govan Gundy Guy. It's as dinkum as the dingo and the dahlia, and you spell it with a G apostrophe, a D-A-Y. Good day, good day. How you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. Good day, good day. And how you going? Just say good day, good day, good day, and you'll be right. Good day, good day. And how you going? What do you know? We'll strike a light. Good day, good day. And how you going? Just say good day, good day, good day. Just say good day, good day, good day, and she'll be right.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. This is Roman Oz. If you've just joined us, we are on allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And I am in Surat chatting to a very lovely, very busy lady, Holly, and she runs the Timber Crate Cafe and other duties. And how are you?
I'm very well. Very happy to be here. Hello.
Thank you for being part of the program. Now, and I said and other duties because your family, in fact, own a caravan park, the New Royal Hotel, motel, and
the coffee shop.
The coffee shop.
Yes,
we're very busy. The Timber Crate. You're very, very busy. So, how long have you guys been associated with all these businesses here in Surat?
So we moved here when I was 4, so they've had these businesses for 19 years now.
Okay.
This year, 19 years, which is a bloody long time.
A long time. And, yeah. And when did you start working at the Timber Crate?
Well, we originally owned the pub first. That was our first business, along with the caravan park.
Right.
I started working when I was 7, which, for all those asking, is actually legal. I started pouring beers when I was 7. And then we joined the coffee shop. We built that into the pub about 5 years ago.
Okay.
So I started working there, obviously, 5 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, busy bee.
So you're a very busy girl. Now,
yes.
Apart from coffee, you've also got pastries in there. Like,
yes.
Tell our listeners, paint a picture in words. For a traveller coming into the coffee shop, what can they expect?
It's a lot of just your sweet treats. It's got fresh pastries. We got our lovely locals in town that always make the homemade pies, homemade quiches, which are absolutely famous here. We got a lot of your giftware for all the lovely ladies, and we got the pub right next door for the gentlemen, which is even better. it's different for this town. It's just something nice and refreshing. It's very cute. It's very modern, I believe. It's got a bit of everything in it for you, I reckon.
Okay. Now, what about your caravan park? Tell us about that, because for the benefit of the listeners, there is the caravan park. If you're travelling on a budget, there's also the fisherman's park, which is a donation park. But your caravan park, how many sites do you have?
So it's got 14 sites in it.
Okay, right.
All grassed areas. It's got your showers, your amenities, which are very well looked after. It's got 12 cabins there as well. It's got a barbecue area. You're allowed campfires for definitely those chilly nights like tonight. Yeah, it's pretty much got most everything you need. It's got your laundry.
Now, what you said, pet friendly. Now, are pets, are they restricted anywhere in the caravan park, or can they just go pretty much everywhere as long as
they can run wild, as long as they behave themselves?
And what about your cabins? Do you have any pet friendly cabins?
We do. So we've got 3 down at the caravan park and 6 at the hotel.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we like our pets, so I'm a big dog person, so I would never say no.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of people now travelling with pets.
Yes.
And it's always great to be able to have your pet close by.
Yeah, definitely.
And to be able to have him in one of the motel rooms, for example, absolutely fantastic. And the same goes with the cabins in your caravan
yes.
park. Now, I was chatting with your dad, Don, a little bit, a few minutes ago. He mentioned something about a gym. You got a gym
yes,
in town?
We
What's
have,
the gym?
That's also a family-owned one. It's a upstairs area and a downstairs area.
Okay.
It's just beside the laundromat, which we also own. So the gym, yeah, it's we just hand out the keys because we get a lot of workers mainly.
Yes.
Oil and gas workers or your drillers. We get a lot of, or like Maranoa. We get a lot of workers come through and they stay here for 2 weeks. They want that little bit of exercise, so we give them the key to the gym. It's a donation as well. We don't force anyone to pay. They use it whenever they can, and yeah, it just keeps people happy. So
now you also have a shower in town for the benefit of anybody staying at the free park or the donation park, the fisherman's park. You've also got a shower in town.
Yes.
How does that work? Is that a donation or is that completely
no,
free?
No, that's completely free.
Completely
yeah,
free.
I don't even think there's a donation box there that you can if you wanted to.
Okay.
But if you're staying over at the river at the donation park, you just add a little bit of extra in there for the showers that are in town.
Fantastic.
Works both ways.
Well, look, not everybody has facilities.
No.
I've noticed a few people down there at that donation park that are actually staying in tents. So they wouldn't have a shower. They wouldn't have any of those facilities.
Yeah, toilets.
So they've got
that
here.
Yeah, we've got all the options. We try and keep people as happy as we can.
Fantastic. So you started Pouring Beer at 7 and now you're 17?
I'm 24 now.
You're 24 now?
Yeah.
So are you a trained barista or you just picked it up as you went along?
I don't even remember learning how to do it. I just do it and I'm good at it. You know, like I don't remember learning or I don't remember my dad teaching me how to pour beer, but now I do it and I do it for a living.
Okay.
I recently moved back here. So about 3 months ago, I permanently moved back here.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the coffee shop, you got pastries and stuff. What about in the hotel? Do you serve food in the hotel?
Yes. So we do your lunch and your dinner. We got chefs on pretty much 24/7.
Okay.
Your lunches go from 12 to 2 and then your dinners go from 6 to 8.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And we do take away or dine in, either one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you can have it cooked here and take it back to the caravan
yeah,
park.
Yeah, exactly. And it's only 100 metres down the road, the caravan, for those listening. It's only 100 metres down the road from the pub, so it's not too far of a walk.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what sort of food do you regularly serve in there? Because I've seen what you serve over there. Have you got your regular, your schnitzels and your...
Yeah, so all your basics. We got your rumps, ribs, all your steaks. We've got your palmies. We've got a Surratt special palmy. You got your chicken schnitzels, lamb shanks, pork chops. Seafood, what else do we have? Well, we've got pizzas, pastas. We do quite a broad range, and then we get your specials on the board. We normally have 3 specials, and that changes every night just to spice it up and keep it different for the locals who are here pretty much all day, every day.
Fantastic. So you've really got everything covered.
Yes, we try to. There's probably stuff we're missing, but hopefully nothing too important.
No, I think you got it all covered, and especially the fact that it's a family-owned business, obviously. So,
yeah.
And you've got the hotel, which is the new Royal Hotel, the motel, 18 rooms, some of them are pet-friendly. You've got the caravan park, which is just called the Surratt Cabin and Caravan Park, 100 metres down the road.
Yeah.
And you've also got the coffee, the Timber Crate.
We cover all areas.
You've got everything covered. And also in town, you've got a fabulous museum and aquarium just across the street.
Yep, it's all located. It's all within walking distance.
Fantastic. Holly, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
That's okay.
I know you're extremely busy. I came and saw you yesterday, flat out, made an appointment today. I saw the look on the girl's face when you said, I'll only be 5 minutes. Really busy out there.
Wasn't going to be five.
No. So we're going to wrap this up now. Now, have you got a favourite Australian singer or band?
We do Slim Dusty. We love it in this pub.
You do?
Yes.
You play a lot of Slim in the pub?
We do. We used to have a jukebox, and that was pretty much on repeat 24/7. I almost got sick of hearing it, if that's ever possible.
So a favourite Slim Dusty song?
Pub with No Beer, of course.
Pub with No Beer. Now, you're not going to run out of beer, are you? If
definitely
we get a heap
not.
Of tourists that listen to this,
not.
They all rock in.
We're fully stocked and loaded.
Okay, fantastic. Well, there you go, listeners. That's Holly. She runs the Timber Crate Cafe here in Surratt, as well as pouring beers in the hotel. So if you're travelling through here, make sure you check out this place. Absolutely sensational. Thank you for your time,
Lovely.
Holly.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to be back with more of Roman Oz Folks straight after Slim Dusty's A Pub With No Beer.
Oh, it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where hear the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Now the publican's anxious for the quota to come, and there's a faraway look on the face of the bum. The mate's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Oh, what a terrible place is a pub with no beer. Then the stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar and pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly turns to a sneer as the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. Then the swaggy comes in, smothered in dust and flies. He throws down his roll and rubs the sweat from his eyes. But when he is told, he says, what's this I hear? I've trudged 50 layman miles to a pub with no beer. Now there's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. It's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. And old Billy the blacksmith, the first time in his life, why he's gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're early, Bill dear. But then he breaks down and tells her, the pub's got no beer. Oh, it's hard to believe that there's customers still, but the money's still tinkling in the old ancient till. The wine dots are happy, and I know they're sincere when they say they don't care if the pub's got no beer. So it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where hear the wild dingoes call. But there's a nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of that pub with a no beer.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. Phil C here, allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country. And we're at Surratt with Wendy Newman. Now, she is the Secretary of Surratt and District Association. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Surratt.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I know you're an extremely busy lady. Tell us a little bit about Surratt and what you do as the Secretary of the Surratt District Association.
Well, Surratt is an old town, one of the original towns in this part of Queensland.
Right.
The first police station, the first magistrates' court, so back in the late 1840s.
Yes.
We were very lucky back then that the surveyor that Major Mitchell sent to survey the town when we were about, people started to build here. They were starting to build on the Roma side of the Boulogne River, He took one look, said no, shifted us over to this side of the river, and we're one of the few towns, riverside towns, that never gets flooded.
Really?
We're very lucky. We get turned into an island.
Okay.
And but not for very long, and we don't have to deal with all those the tragedies that so many people experience during floods. So thank you, Major Mitchell and the 1840s.
Because down at the river, on the way to the Fisherman's Park, which is one of your, I guess, you're an RV-friendly town, so
yes,
we've got this park there, which is the donation. You've had floods down there, haven't you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Huge floods, 12-metre floods.
You're on the Roma side there.
Ah, right, yeah.
And at the 2011, 2012 massive floods we had in this area, at one stage there was water from this side of the bridge. The bridge does go right under.
Okay.
And for 40 kilometres.
Wow. But the town remains dry.
Yes.
You're just isolated like a small island.
Yeah, which is fairly amazing and much appreciated,
oh,
I can tell you.
I can imagine,
yeah,
because imagine if you were down there with those 12-metre floods.
Yeah.
That would have been the end of everything for
That's
you,
right.
home-wise.
And as a town itself now, many years later, we have gone through, once upon a time it was all sheep, shearing, yes, you know, umpteen pubs, the whole boom part. We're now a more settled community,
yes,
of, in the centre of mainly farming grain, sheep, sort of very few sheep now because of wild dogs and changing conditions. Lots of grain, cattle. The town itself has got a population of around the 400 mark.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Surratton District Development Association is the, probably the core group that enables a lot of activities to take place. So we're an incorporated group. We operate as an umbrella organisation for groups that want to get up and do things but don't want to have to get incorporated and get too formal. So at the moment that includes as wide a range as the touch football, tennis, pottery, patchwork, cards, shutterbugs photography group, I'm trying to remember them all, Ball and on the Ballon, who ran a major New Year's Eve ball last year and are planning another one this year. The community care group, which quietly raises funds to support local people who may be in need. Carols by Candlelight. You name it. If people got an interest, they can come to the SDDA, as we call it for simplicity, and if at all possible, we'll support them. And it enables them to go for grants and to just not have to worry about getting their own insurance, things like that. So for a town of 400, tremendous range of activities and interests available.
Now, apart from that, you're also a volunteer at the museum.
Yeah, the museum group is one of the SDDA subgroups as well. We have got the most amazing museum. I mean, you've been there.
I've been there. It is amazing. It is. It really is.
People just get such a surprise when they see our museum. Partly it's because it's run as what's called a dispersed collection. So in the museum proper, you've got a range of themed exhibits which change periodically as and when the volunteers and council staff can pull the next exhibition together. Of course, we've got permanent exhibitions because we can't move them.
Yes.
One is the wool press area and the Cobb & Co. store. And then down the opposite end of the museum, you've got the replica Cobb & Co. coach.
Yes, yes.
And that, of course, is about to come out.
Oh.
Back into use.
Back into service.
Absolutely. Because one of our subgroups is the Cobb & Co. festival subgroup.
Yes.
Now, the last ever Cobb & Co. coach trip in Australia went from here in Surat to Yulba. And we have been reenacting that every 5 years since 2009 as a build-up to this year, which is the centenary of that last trip.
Right.
So what started off as a fairly manageable, quiet weekend in 2009 is now a 10-day extravaganza of events and activities and excitement and lots of people and lots of camping, and it's going to be wonderful.
So the town must absolutely explode with people.
Oh.
Because you said 400.
Yes.
400 people live here.
Yeah.
So what sort of numbers have you been getting for these festivals?
I haven't had a recent count. The bookings are going very well.
Okay.
And it is all available. Everything's available online at the Cobb and Cove Festival
website.
Which I'm sure you'll advertise
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely.
But we have got so many things going on, free events and ones you pay for.
Okay.
Everything from you can ride for part of the coach trip inside the coach, which many people love to do. But there's art exhibitions, and there's festivals in the street, and there's long lunches, and there's all sorts of events happening, and of course many of them are free, so have a look at the website.
Mm-hmm.
We've also we partner very strongly with Maranoa Regional Council with this, identified and helped organise many more camping areas around the towns of both Surat and Yilba, but particularly
for this
Surat,
particular event,
just for this event.
Yes, because I was going to say the Fisherman's Park where we're staying, that you're only supposed to be there for 72
hours.
So what would happen over there? They just overlook that? How do you control the people?
Now I've got to be careful what I say here, don't I? That's technically, legally, a water reserve. So the 72 hours is the limit that's applied by it being a water reserve. I'm not aware of anyone who turns up from natural resources to police it too thoroughly.
Okay.
We're all aware if people are abusing the privilege there, somebody will have a little chat with them.
Of course.
But there'll be no abuse of privilege during the Cobb and Co Festival. It's
fabulous.
All going to be wonderful.
Yes.
And everyone's going to be welcome.
I can just imagine, I've not been to this particular event, but I would love to be here next year because I've already got plans for this year. But I can only imagine how much fun it's going to be and how interesting for all ages.
Yep, yeah. And, I mean, we're still getting new events and activities lined up. Like, we've just agreed to auspice another grant application for four performers that will be performing around the streets during the market day. It's just, things just keep mushrooming and growing. So it's going to be great fun. Next year will be too late, I'm afraid. This is it. Only one centenary, but...
Yes.
Yeah, so, no, it should be terrific.
So you're expecting, because it's the centenary, to be really, really big?
Yes.
Big event?
Yes, we are. And certainly the bookings would indicate that.
Okay.
So, but for most of your audience, the people who are on the road just travelling around at any time of the year, I think there's a great love of Surat for people that have been here, because we're not just an RV friendly town, we're a friendly town.
Yes, you are. I've noticed that.
And we're also the most amazingly resourced little town that I think you could find. So when you're travelling through, you've got immediate access to hospital, ambulance, police, fire, range of activities like tennis court, golf course, the Surat River Walk. There's cafes, three cafes where you can get a lovely cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
Of course, the museum and the art gallery complex. And did you put a fish in the fish tank?
No. Was I supposed to?
Yes.
Please explain.
Right. When you walk into the foyer of the Cobb and Co complex...
Yes.
On the far wall, there is the... I think you're still inland Australia's largest freshwater tank. We call it the window on the Boulogne.
Yes.
And it's maintained by the Surat Fishing and Restocking Club.
Right.
They're the people who get those donations.
I see. Right. I think I met a gentleman yesterday, Les.
Yes.
Les came down to introduce himself to us.
He's in that group.
Okay.
And they really do restock the fish supplies in this area. Wonderful area for fishing, of course.
Okay.
But anyway, you can have a look in that And you can see, because of course the water's kept a lot cleaner, the Balon River tends to be.
You can actually see the fish swimming around.
You can see the fish.
Yes.
And then if you're not sure about what the fish are, you can go, you can turn to your right and there's this animated screen on the wall, and you go over to that animated screen, which is quite large, and there's fish swimming around in it, or fish shaped. And they're fairly, you know, they're not colourful or anything, most of them. But if you find the fish shape that you're interested in, put your finger on and just hold it there for a moment, pop, up pops a whole range of data and information about that
particular fish.
Mm.
Okay.
And then most of the fish that are there permanently are not colourful.
No.
But you will often see colourful fish in there. And what's happened there is that we've got templates of the fish shapes that people can colour in. They can then go over to the scanner next to the fish tank, pop the coloured fish down, face up, push a green button, and a few seconds later their fish swims into the tank and it stays there for about 24 hours.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And I'm telling you because some people will look at that and think, wouldn't kids love that? Which they do.
Yes.
But I've seen a whole busload of retired senior citizens colouring in fish and finding them in the tank to get their photo taken with their fish for their grandkids.
I didn't know that at all. I'll have to have a...
You'll have to go back.
When you said put a fish in there, I thought I was meant to catch one out of the Bolan River and put it in there.
No. And it's great fun. Yeah, so... so there's, and also that complex, the museum complex, includes the library.
It does, yes.
And the library is a QGAP office as well. So for people travelling through, if you've got any problems with, that you want to get in Medibank or Medicare or Centrelink or any of those things, or car registrations, that's where you go to.
Amazing.
All those services are there. And of course, we've also got, along with the hospital, we've also got a doctor's surgery with local doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a chemist. So for people who want a bit of a respite but have immediate access to every service you can think of, really.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all in this one little town, which is all within walking distance and is usually lovely and green and flowery because we have access to raw water from the river for our gardens.
It's definitely a town not to miss.
No.
And don't think because it's a small town of 400 and really just one street that it's not worth spending a few days here.
No. I'm not a country person originally, born and bred in St Kilda.
Okay. Yes.
Very different. And I think a lot of people from cities have this vague stereotype of country bumpkins, whereas a lot of the people you're going to meet in the country here and everywhere else, they'll have university qualifications, they'll have worked overseas, they'll have done fascinating things. And then they, at the moment, are living in a country town or a country area. And you get a chance to have a chat to them and they're really interesting people.
Yes.
And that's certainly true of Surat.
Now, you've been here about 20 years.
Yes, that's right.
But you're still not considered a local. So what does it take to become a local in Surat? You have to be born here?
I think born and bred is going to help a lot. But I think we're a lot more accepted than we were once upon a time. But, yeah, and it's the same. My husband's a Queenslander and from the Maroon area, which is out from Boona. For people who know any of those areas, well, his family settled there in 1891, took out a selection there, and we were the fourth generation to own the family property there. So I was married to a real local there, but once you move away to another area, you start from scratch.
You've got to start from scratch. Well, I can't imagine you're going to be interested in moving on. You've definitely made Surat your home.
Yeah, this is our home.
And this is where you'll end out your days. And you're a busy lady. You're going to continue volunteering and doing more and more for the community.
Well, not more and more, because like a lot of people here, like, for example, we've got, and I didn't mention, we've got very good internet connection here. We've got NBN fibre to the premises being put in through funding, so we've got great internet. So, one of the other things I do is I've got an eBay store, and I'm a top-rated seller on eBay, and I'm just using it to sell off all my family collections.
Okay.
That is great fun. And my idea of a happy retirement is do what you enjoy and don't overcommit yourself, which is always a danger,
which can
isn't it?
Always be a danger in a small town.
Yeah.
With the right attitude, which you've certainly got.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Wendy. I'm going to wind this up now, because if I don't, people are going to be saying, we should call this the Wendy Newman Show.
Oh, cut it all.
So I'm going to wind this up now. So apart from the Cobb & Co Festival, listeners, which is on the 16th to 25th of August this year, and you can just look that up on Google, there's so many other wonderful people to meet here and things to do and see here in Surat. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Wendy.
Been a pleasure.
I'm going to have to wind it up now, Sal. Do you have a favourite Australian singer or song?
Oh, look, at the moment, I certainly do.
Okay.
Josh Arnold is his name.
Right.
And he's got a song out called Cobb & Co Country.
Yes.
And he's been helped in developing it by lots of our locals, so it's a great song.
Well, we'll put that on for you right now, my dear. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Stick around, listeners. We'll be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Cobb & Co Country by...
Josh Arnold.
Let's set the stage in Cobb & Co Country. Part of the Marinoa's proud history. And this is Cobb & Co Country. Along the dusty track between Yulebar and Surat, Cobb & Co Country. Gold Rush Fever, 1853, when Freeman Cobb began the legacy. Then through the Aussie bush came the thundering hooves, pulling the coaches on leather straps. Oh, how they moved. Let's set the stage in Cobb & Co Country, part of the Marinoa's proud history. And this is Cobb & Co Country. Along the dusty track between Yulebar and Surat, Cobb & Co Country. There were floods, mud and steep hills, the threat of bush ranges. One hell of a ride, a journey for the ages. Horses fed and watered at every changing station, then rolling across the plains and over the ranges. If you listen, you can hear the bugle call, and that letter you've been longing for has finally arrived. Hearts filled with anticipation, loved ones nearly here, while others feel the sting when it's time to say goodbye. This way of life was never meant to last, this pioneering spirit of the past. So we celebrate the history to this very day and relive it all on the Cobb & Co way. Let's set the stage in Cobb & Co Country, part of the Marinoa's proud history. And this is Cobb & Co Country. Along the dusty track between Yulebar and Surat, let's
stage in Carbondale Country. Part of the Maranoa's proud history. And this is Carbondale Country. Along the dusty track between you.
Welcome back to the program, listeners. If you've just joined us, this is Roaming Oz on allaussieradio.com.au, now syndicated to 97.7 Tasman FM and 87.6 Backwater Country in Harrington. And in the studio with me today, I have got Kim Waldman from the Bolinshire Council, and she is the Tourism Manager for St George Region, and she's going to tell us about some fabulous events that are going to be coming up in this area very, very soon. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Phil. Thank you so much for having me here.
Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Now, tell us about what happens in the St George Region in relation to tourism, because you've got so many things happening. And I want my listeners to know about this, because if they're travelling through here, you've got a feast of events coming up, haven't you?
Definitely. I think events are one of those things that just bring everybody together. So it's not just the community, but obviously we love it when all the tourists come here as well and join us for all these events. Uh-huh. And it's also a great way for our farmers in the region to let off steam after, you know, long harvests and all of that sort of thing. So this year we've got, for the latter part of the year, got so much coming up, particularly, well, starting off in July, it's all about horses for us. We've got horse races and polo cross. So the big horse race is the St George Region Cup,
right,
which is happening here, obviously, in St George.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big major race event, which is fantastic and brings hundreds of people to town. So good one to get frocked up for.
Frocked up for the ladies. So it's a bit of a fashions in the field day as well, a bit like the Melbourne Cup.
Definitely. But with that nice little country flair that goes along with that. So, and we're actually running a competition, if anybody wants to enter, that they can win a trip. So it's a VIP trip for two people to come to St George for the races.
So how do they go about entering that?
If they go to the St George Region website, which is stgeorgeregion.com.au, they'll find it in the banner across the top. So get in quick.
Yes,
you could be coming here for free.
Absolutely. Fabulous.
Yeah.
That's a good way to start an interview.
Oh, well, there we go. But there's obviously way more than that as well, because, of course, we've got the polo cross events. We've got one coming up in Dirranbandi. So that's, as I said, July's about our horses. And then as we move into August, we've got camp drafts pretty much in every single town, like in Nindigully, actually back in St George, but Dirranbandi as well. So all the towns get into that.
Okay.
But we have a few kind of more unusual things that happen that month. And I mean, it's Mungandai Show. I'm not sure if you know about Mungandai being one of those towns that straddles the border. So it actually is both in Queensland and in New South Wales.
Right.
So this particular event happens at the showgrounds on the New South Wales side, but you know, Mungandai is one town, so we promote everything that they do down there. It is a show, but for a show, they do some really quirky offbeat events. They do, it's a cotton header picker demolition derby. As I said, you know, this is the area for all the farmers who've all been going through long harvests, so good way for them to let off steam at the end of harvest season, but also prepare because they've got to start getting ready for getting back into everything at the end of the year as well. So they do that. They do things like lawnmower races and, lolly drops for the kids. So there's pretty much something for everybody there as well.
Fantastic. So it's a bit of a smash-up derby for these. It is.
So it's proved to be a real hit. Lots of people come from everywhere to come and check it out. So there's that. And then, as I said, you know, like kind of moving then into the end of the month, we've got Thallon. So wonderful town of Thallon's actually been voted the best grey nomad town for 2023 in all of Australia.
Really?
So, yes, definitely. And it's such an awesome little town. And the community there has just so come together to kind of, not just bring events, but also, uplift the town, make attractions and to draw the travellers there. So this is where we have our painted silos.
Yes.
And they actually also won an award for a street art award for the best painted silos, I think, for a regional community. So they're really great. But the event that they do is a truck pull. So, you know, you get teams of six people who are all, again, dressed up, but this time not frocked up, I suppose, okay. So much, a bit more, you know, crazy costumes. And they have to try and pull it's a prime mover, and they've got to move it about 25 metres, I believe, or more than that. So, again, just huge amounts of fun. They put on a whole bunch of kids' activities, so they make it a real family day, and it actually raises money for the school there in Thallon as well. So they're, as I said, great community, really, really lovely, and a good, you know, fun thing to get out and go to.
Fantastic.
But yeah. So, but then if you move into October, gosh, we're back in St. George, and we've got the St. George Fishing Competition and the Dragon Country Sandgreen Cup, which is for all the golfers.
Okay.
And they're happening, both of them, on the October long weekend. So, yeah, come out for a long weekend and come do that. And then when you're not playing golf or fishing, you can get out and have a look around and check out all the other communities. And if that's not enough, though, we've got the pig races, and that's at Nindigully Pub in November, so at the end of November. And this event's been going for such a long time, and they raise money as well for the RFDS.
Yes.
And it's you can come, you can camp there on site. So there's a free campsite that's there, and the pub then has showers that you can use. And it just becomes this great weekend of sitting there watching the pigs race around and, you know, betting on them while you're there as well, all in good fun.
The pig races is absolutely, it's such a fun event. I met the chap from the Nindigully Pub probably about 3 weeks ago at the Shira Shindig in Thargaminda.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I think his name is, Kevin the Pig Whisperer.
Yes, he comes every year back and does this. So, yeah, no, you'd need to be a pig whisperer to be able to do that event.
It is such a fun event, though. It's not just a matter of, you know, you think, how do you make a pig race? Well, he's got a really good story about how he's trained these pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so much fun for kids and adults alike to watch these little piglets running around trying to find a bowl of milk. And that's what it's all about. And, of course, you can win money. And they raise money too, which is for charities.
The RFDS is the one that the pub, Nindigully Pub, is raising money for as well. So.
Okay. Fantastic. So what else have you got? Anything else? Or
well, no, come the end of the year, we've just had announced that it's the Mac 1000. So it's the longest enduro race, I believe, in Australia. Maybe don't quote me so much on that one. But it's an off-road car rally race, and it's run on, farming properties. So there's paddocks, there's potentially going to be dams as well, and, you know, dirt tracks, that kind of thing. So it's really good. It's something that we'd had here, started out as the St. George 399, and it's just grown bigger and bigger, and now they've turned it into this enduro event. So it actually had to be called off earlier in the year because of too much rain on the track. So really wonderful to see it coming back before the end of the year. So, but yeah, so that's a great way for us to kind of celebrate the end of the year and get into summer then. So
you've got so many things because we're halfway through the year.
Mm.
So you've got something happening in your region, what, almost weekly or fortnightly?
Pretty much, yes. So, oh gosh, even this week's been super busy. Loads of events just all on the 1 week. So, and it's so wonderful to see all the tourists in town and right throughout our region and visiting all of the smaller towns. So, I'd just say please come visit, check us out, and come and have some fun with everybody.
Well, I'm sure they will. And what we'll do, Kim, is as these events get closer, I will talk to the people in length about each event so that the listeners can find out what's going to happen at each and every one of these events. Because this is a very, very brief overview, mm-hmm. just to give our listeners the opportunity of checking out some of these events, but we will find the people running them and they can go into a lot more detail. Now, once again, how do the listeners find out about all these events? It's on...
So if you go to the St. George Region website, so it's stgeorgeregion.com.au.
Okay.
And we have an events page there set up where you can find all of them and have a look and figure out which one you want to go to. And while you're there, check out the other information on, you know, how to get here, what else there is to see and do while you're here as well.
Of course. And that competition.
Oh, absolutely. Make sure you get your entry into that quickly. So, yes, get out there now and win a trip to the St. George region for the races.
Fantastic. Kim, thank you so much for your time to chatting with us this afternoon. I do appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. And before we wind this up, though, I'm going to play you a song, and it has to be Aussie because we only do Aussie here on All Aussie Radio. Do you have a favourite Aussie band or singer song?
I absolutely do. So I would say that my favourite band is Dragon, and favourite all-time song is April Sun in Cuba.
Classic song. Thank you so much. That's Kim Waldman, folks, and she is the tourism manager from the Bolinshire Council in the St. George region. Thank you so much for your time.
Not a problem. Thank you, Phil.
We'll be back with more of Roman Oz listeners straight after Dragon's April Sun in Cuba. Folks, that's Dragon with the late great Mark Hunter, sadly gone to rock and roll heaven, but the band Dragon is still performing, and if you do like their music, why not check them out if they're in a town near you. I'm going to close the show with another song by Dragon, which I'm going to send out to Kim Waldman, who just took the time to chat with us all about some sensational events in the St. George region. Now, over the next coming weeks and months, we are going to be having guests on the program that will talk to us in much more depth about these particular events. So, for example, we've got the Dirranbandi Polo Cross, and that's on the 27th to 28th of July. Now, we will have Nick Perkins, and he's the president of that, on the phone lines telling us all about this particular event. On the same weekend, the St. George Cup races, that's the 27th of July. So if you're into horses, if you want to maybe see the Polo Cross or go and see the Cup races, you can do the Cup races on the 27th of July, Polo Cross on the 28th of July. Get your horse fixed there at those two fabulous events. 10th and 11th of August, we've got the Hebel Camp Draft. 9th and 11th of August, we've got the Mungandai Show. That's going to be sensational. Make sure you check that one out as well, folks, okay? 31st of August, we've got the Talon Truck Pull. I can't imagine. I've never seen a truck pull. I've seen tractors pull. I've seen various machines do this sort of thing. I've not been to a truck pull. So this is going to be sensational. Make sure you check it out. If you're interested in fishing, 5 and 6th of October, we got the St. George Fishing Competition. Sadly, I won't be able to get to this one. I love fishing, but I'm not going to be anywhere near the St. George region on the 5th and 6th of October. But I know a lot of you people are. So if you're interested in fishing, why not get involved in that one? If you love your golf, we've got the Dragon Country Sand Green Cup. And I believe, and it will be confirmed, that that's on the same weekend as the fishing comp, okay? So if you're interested in golf, check that one out as well. We've got so many other things going on. In November, we've got the Nindin Gully Pig Races. Now, I've seen pig races at Thargaminda. It was the chap, Kev, the pig whisperer, who was out there doing that one, and he's from the Nindin Gully Pub. So if he's going to be there on that day, that's going to be a fun event for everyone to see. And Kev, wow, what a pig race caller he is. Goodness gracious me. On the 7th of December, we've got the Mac 1000. So these are all the events that's happening in the St. George region. And thanks to Kim Wildman from the Bolonshire Council. She's the tourism manager out there giving us all this information for all our listeners. Folks, I'm going to wind the program up now with another song by Dragon. I know Kim loves the band, and this is one of my favourites, so enjoy. It's the number called Young Years.
We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.